Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are looking at our new book, which is just being released recently.
Well, actually, this week. It's going to be on Thursday.
We hope at least by this week. Answering Mormon's Questions. We kind of gave you a little introduction yesterday as to why I felt to write this book in the first place. But this new edition has really been beefed up. As we said, the first one was about 127 pages. This one is the size of Mormonism 101.
This is steroids, then.
You could say that. But anyway, so what we thought we would do this week is kind of, I guess, give you a little bit of a teaser as to what's inside this book, if you're curious. And so we're going to go through some of the chapters and give a little bit of a recap, a little bit of an overview as to what is in these chapters. And chapter 2 has this question. Why won't you let us define our own doctrine rather than telling us what we believe?
One of the things when we wrote these questions of each of these 36 chapters, a lot of chapters, we tried to use language that we have heard on the street. This is almost verbatim what I have heard a number of times, exactly the same words. So this is a very common question, Bill.
We have heard Mormon apologists use this exact phrase. We've heard it out on the streets. This is one of those phrases that when a Mormon hears it, it becomes a talking point. And it kind of trickles down through the membership to where it eventually comes out on the street. But really, what does that question imply? If someone came up to you and says, why won't you let us define our doctrine rather than telling us what we believe? What do you think they're implying? They're implying that what you are saying, you think I believe, is not at all what I believe. And really, how dare you insinuate such a thing?
And you're bringing up a good point of something we shouldn't do. We should never say, you believe. You believe means that you understand what they believe. They may not believe it. However, we're not interested in what an individual may believe. We're interested in what Mormonism teaches through the leadership.
Yeah, I think we need to explain what that means. Our course of study deals with what the leadership has said about Mormonism. But what Eric's saying is, and he's absolutely correct, the individual Mormon may not even know some of these things that have been taught. So while we do, in a sense, do want to know what the individual does believe so we know how to direct our questioning, we can't assume that the average member of the Mormon church knows all the nuances about the faith that he belongs to. Just because a person belongs to a particular religious belief does not necessarily make them an expert. What this question is kind of implying, hey, I'm a member. How dare you say that this is what I believe? Well, like you say, Eric, we don't want to tell them what they believe. We want to ask them what they believe. The response questions that we have for chapter 2 go along these lines. First of all, you might ask, well, in what way do you feel that I have defined your doctrine? What is it that has come up in our conversation that you feel I have either misrepresented or accused you of that isn't actually true? In other words, what you're asking for is some specifics. What do you mean? Some Mormons will actually imply that nothing you know about Mormonism is true. And believe me, folks, if Mormonism is that esoteric, it's not Christianity. But some Mormons will give you the impression that nobody seems to really understand Mormonism but the members themselves. Well, let me just tell you, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of members, and I find many of them really don't know what Mormonism is all about. By asking the question, in what way do you feel that I have defined your doctrine, gives that individual an opportunity to explain to you what it is specifically that bothered them. If, in fact, you can defend the fact that a leader or a manual has taught the very thing that you were discussing, well, then I think that the the responsibility is on the part of the member to explain to you, well, why is it these guys believe that and you don't? If you're supposed to believe what the leadership has been teaching, why is it that you as a member don't seem to believe what the leadership has been teaching?
And those other two response questions are exactly what the way you've just explained it. Like the third one we have, while you certainly might disagree with your leaders, shouldn't the authoritative words of these men reflect the actual doctrines of your church? As a Mormon, if you're going to call yourself a Latter-day Saint, then you should fall in line with the teachings of this church. That's what we're most interested in. Now, as you find out more about what the individual Mormon is believing, you might find out that he doesn't agree and you can commend him. Well, I would agree with you. However, mm-hmm. do you know that your leaders have said and be able to point them? And what we've done in this book is we have given hundreds and hundreds of quotes throughout. Each chapter at least has 20, 30 quotes from different leaders to show that this is what the religion is teaching, regardless of what a Mormon might say.
And I would think that what we've done in this chapter and in the rest of the book would be, to a certain extent, exactly what an average member would expect us to do if we are to understand this religion. Because the second bullet point on the response questions is, without becoming a Latter-day Saint, what would be a good way for someone to better understand just what it is that Mormonism teaches? If you asked a Latter-day Saint that, what do you think, Eric, would be a common answer to that?
Well, a lot of Mormons are going to say, well, this is what I was taught in seminary classes, okay. and this is what I've heard all the time, and so what you're telling me disagrees with what I've heard.
Okay. So in other words, when they say, oh, well, I learned this in a seminary class, or I learned this in an institute class, what is it that they actually read in the seminary class or the institute class that made them draw that conclusion? Probably a manual, right?
Absolutely.
Because in
That's
seminary they classes, they have manuals. Right. In institute classes, they have manuals. This book cites manuals after manuals after manuals. So if they feel that we need to go to the manuals to better understand Mormonism, well, then we've done that. We've done it, and we've done it correctly. We've gone to the source that your average member would probably go to in order to find out what they are supposed to believe. So how have we somehow done something wrong when they would probably agree that if you want to better understand Mormonism, this is where you go? Go to the manuals, or go to a conference message. Go to our magazines would probably be another answer that they would give. Or I mentioned conference messages. That would, we quote lots of conference messages here too. That would be the primary sources that they would go for that kind of information. So if we are doing that, how is it that we are defining their doctrine for them?
In one of their church manuals in Gospel Principles, page 45, we give this quote, and this is what they said. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints accepts four books of Scripture: the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. These books are called the standard works of the church. The inspired words of our living prophets are also accepted as Scripture. What would you say, Bill, on that? I mean, a lot of Mormons would say we believe in the standard works, but they have that second line there. What would that incorporate as far as the words of our living prophets?
Well, of course, the words of the living prophets, as we've mentioned, are found in the conference reports. They're also found in fireside messages. They're also found in books that these leaders have actually written. And we would have to assume, I would think, that if a Mormon leader is going to sit down and write a book about what he believes Mormon doctrine entails, why should we not think that he's going to tell us accurately what he as a Mormon leader believes on this subject?
We give another quote from Preach My Gospel, A Guide to Missionary Service, page 37. They wrote, a living prophet directs the church today. This prophet, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is the authorized successor to Joseph Smith. He and the present apostles trace their authority to Jesus Christ in an unbroken chain of ordinance through Joseph Smith. And what we're doing in this book, as you have talked about, we're quoting from the conferences, we're quoting from these manuals. We are trying to do, as you've said, trying to do what the leaders themselves have told us we're supposed to do, to follow the leader.
Yeah, and so that's why we have those kind of response questions there, so that we put ourselves on a level playing field with the Mormon that we're talking to. Because if you asked him specifically, well, what's a good way to understand this? He would point you in the same direction that we point the reader in this particular chapter and in throughout the entire book. We are going to the primary sources that Mormons respect. We're not quoting Mormon missionaries, as zealous as they are, I commend them for wanting to spend 2 years of their life to go out and teach their belief system. But we know they don't carry the authority that a general authority would certainly carry. So we don't quote Mormon missionaries or even a lot of individuals. We do quote some apologists just to give people an idea of where the apologists are coming from on some of these questions.
Real quick, I want your response to a guy named Michael Ash who wrote a book and said this: we need to be aware that sometimes we are too quick to uncritically accept the things we hear or read, talking about from the Mormon perspective, from the leaders. And he says, even from sources such as church leaders or in church magazines. He seems to minimize these things. How would you respond to that?
I would say that probably most Mormons would not want to follow Michael Ash's instructions, mainly because they see the pitfalls with that. They are told over and over that what these leaders say is to be believed. We don't find them apologizing in general conference and saying, for instance, at the beginning of one of their talks, saying, well, this is just my personal opinion.
You've never
you can
hear
take
that.
It or mm-hmm. leave it.
Right.
Michael Ash gives the impression that they aren't trustworthy. We find that most Mormons do think that their leadership is trustworthy. So I don't know if most would follow Michael Ash. I'm sure it probably makes some who do listen to Michael Ash feel a little bit better about some of the silly things that some of the leaders have taught over the years. But I think for the most part, they trust their leadership.
Yeah, and when he
and Michael Ash would not be on that list
of authorities.
People to trust. No.
Well, he says we can know if leaders speak the will of God when we ourselves are moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, now you're left with everybody's opinion, and mm-hmm. your opinion is no better than mine, and where do we end up with? And the leaders have always said it ends up with us.
I think Michael Ash's words on that opens a whole Pandora's box, because if the individual member has the ability to discern what is truth from error without the help of these leaders, then who needs them in the first place? He kind of just put them all out of a job. If you really do have the spiritual ability to know what is true, then why would you need a guy to get up behind a pulpit during general conference or write a book on the subject? You wouldn't need them at all if you have that ability. And so I don't think Michael Ash really helps in this area. But tomorrow we're going to look at some more of this new edition of Answering Mormons Questions.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by Latter-day Saints? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose, such as, how do you justify the doctrine of the Trinity? Well, now you will have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Help us make this book available to Mormon readers. For your gift of $50, we will send you an autographed copy and then donate another copy to a Utah Public Library. It's simple. Just go to the MRM website at www.mrm.org and visit the bookstore where you can order it online. Again, that's mrm.org. Answering Mormons Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.